Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about some products that we saw at the AER conference in Seattle this summer.
Hear what's new in CCTVs from HIMSS and APH, specialty corrective lenses from Chadwick Optical, and accessible laboratory equipment from Independence Science. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, check out AER. It stands for Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Well, we didn't know much about them when we got started here, so we went to their website, which is at www.aerbvi.org, and we found, among other things, their mission statement, which is to support professionals who provide education and rehabilitation services to people with visual impairments, offering professional development opportunities, publications, and public advocacy. The association was formed in 1984 as the result of a consolidation between the American Association of Workers for the Blind and the Association for Education of the Visually Handicapped. And in support of that mission, they provide continuing education opportunities and conferences at the regional, national, and international level. And this was their international conference, which happens only once every 2 years. So everybody who was interested in the topic of education and rehabilitation of people with visual impairments was there.
The funny thing is, neither Nancy or I knew that the conference was taking place. We happened to be boarding an airplane that was headed for Seattle for a couple of week vacation out there. And some passenger noticed my cane and said, "Are you going to the AER conference?" And we said, "No, what's that?" So he described the conference to us and thought it might be interesting for us. And we thought, well, there's an opportunity to tell our Viewpoints listeners what's going on out there.
And of course, we know how to enjoy a vacation, so we spent part of our vacation at the AER conference.
And in particular, we didn't go to the sessions, but we went through the exhibit hall to talk with some of the vendors about products and new things that they were selling. So this is the first show on some of the products that we saw there, and we'll have a few more shows that came from looking at those products in the exhibition hall later this year.
And if you prefer the telephone over the internet, you can find them at 877-492-2708 or 703-671-4500. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about hemianopic aids and the Pelly lens system, and we will describe what all of that is with Karen Keeney, CEO of Chadwick Optical in Vermont.
Can you introduce yourself and your company?
I'm Karen Keeney of Chadwick Optical. We make optical lenses custom that is available nowhere else on Earth, and we're a small company out of Vermont in the U.S.
So the sign that caught our interest says, hemianopia.org, big band-aid for field cuts. Can you explain that?
Yes. Stroke victims, blast victims, head trauma, a lot of brain injury is accompanied by a condition called hemianopsia, which robs the person of half their vision on either the left side of both eyes or the right side of both eyes, depending on where the brain was injured. These people have difficulty navigating in different environments because they can't see to their left or their right side. How we correct that or try to correct it simply is with prisms that grab the images from the blind field and place them in the seeing part of the eye.
So you more center their vision?
No. The prisms act as an artificial peripheral vision. Think of your peripheral vision. It's not 20/20, but what it does is it's an obstacle avoidance mechanism, and that's how these prisms work. And they're very inexpensive. They can be fit by any optometrist by prescription. and they're life-changing for these people with this vision loss.
So it doesn't superimpose like the information from the left over the vision they're having from the right. How does it manage to not confuse the user?
There's been clinical trials done. I actually received a grant from the NIH, the National Eye Institute, for over $1 million for two clinical trials. And it was the brainchild, actually, of Dr. Ellie Pelley out of Scapin's Eye Research Institute. We met. I'm a lens designer. I manufacture lenses. He develops concepts because he works with visual impairment and vision loss all the time. So he had this concept of placing prisms above and below the line of sight in the superior and inferior peripheral vision. And what happens there is it does not interfere with your normal sight, but it gives you a peripheral view that you see over and under in one eye only. So the other eye that does not have the prisms anchors the patient in space, and they can see. But it's sort of like a ghost image that appears.
So does this take some training to understand what that extra information means or how to interpret it?
There's a yes and no answer to that. The training would not hurt, but a little training with family and reaching out to see sort of where spatially the door jamb is or where the tabletop is needed sometimes. Other people have caught on right away and are often running with it, and it's wonderful because it's a cheap fix. Now, you can grind prisms into your glasses for a more permanent fix. Also, in the U.S., 50 states, half of them, if the patient can meet the visual field requirements, they can drive with these lenses.
What was really interesting about these lenses is, well, she said you could grind lenses into your glasses, and obviously that's pretty tricky, pretty specialized, and could be pretty expensive. But what made these lenses particularly inexpensive was the fact that they were Fresnel lenses. And what Fresnel lenses are is instead of taking a piece of glass that's contoured in a special way, you can actually make etchings on something that's transparent, and this will act as a lens, and it's sort of a flat lens. And so what these people have done is they've made these lenses basically out of this transparent etched material that they can send to you anywhere, and then some optician can just stick them on the correct part of your ordinary glasses in order to make them work for you. So it's a really clever idea and an interesting concept, and it really, you don't need a specialist in your town to do this. You can just get these shipped to you and have just any ordinary optician make these very special type lens adaptations for you.
This is something that most opticians or optometrists probably wouldn't know about or wouldn't have access to. Where would people find out about it? How do they, you know, get to use these things?
My hemianopia.org website actually has a Find a Doctor listing on it. If people will Google up the hemianopia.org, they can find a doctor who deals with these lenses. Even so, they're so easy to fit that most family practice, if you live in a small town and you see a certain optometrist and your family goes to them, the optometrist can order the Pelley Lens Fitting Guide and Kit through Chadwick Optical. It's a fairly low cost, and the instructions are all there, and it's easy for the optometrist to fit on the patient's glasses.
Do you have some links or contact information, phone numbers?
Chadwick Optical's phone number is 800-410-1618, but I would appreciate people before they call to visit the Hemianopia, that's hemianopia.org site, and see if their local doctor is listed. I can also help people internationally to find help with these lenses.
Well, I thought I heard you describe the condition as called hemianopsia, and yet the website is Hemianopia. What's the distinction there?
In foreign countries and in ophthalmology, it's usually called homonymous hemianopsia, which is certainly a mouthful.
A big web address.
Then hemianopia is sort of a shortcut for optometry because you're dealing with patients and it's less of a mouthful. If you Google up either one of them, it will come up the same. So they're both valid.
Great.
It's like tomato and tomato.
And what a clever idea. I just love seeing people use their ingenuity to make some neat little thing like that that can be very useful for people.
You are listening to Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is CCTVs, in particular the ones that we were shown from APH and HIMSS. We talked about CCTVs in an earlier show, that was number 1110, so that's been about a year and a half ago. But here's a brief description of what a CCTV is that comes from the American Foundation for the Blind at their website at www.afb.org. Video magnifiers, also known as closed circuit television systems, or CCTVs, are some of the more sophisticated and powerful magnifying tools available to workers with low vision. They may be necessary for some tasks when a handheld or stand magnifier will not work. However, not all people with vision loss will need these products. There are many video magnifiers made by several manufacturers commercially available. For a full list of available video magnifiers and where to purchase them, visit the AFB's product database, which of course is at their website. And I went there. They have 106 different units listed. We obviously can't talk about all 106 of those in this show, but we will be talking about some of the new systems made by HIMSS and the APH.
And this is a technology that has certainly changed over the years a lot. I started using a CCTV in the mid to late 70s, and back then they were very bulky things. They used a regular CRT monitor, which was big, heavy, and awkward. The cameras were better part of a foot long, and even the lenses were a good fraction of a foot long. So they were cumbersome devices. Now these days, these new CCTVs make use of LCD displays, so they're thinner and more energy efficient. There's a little bit more clarity to the picture. The cameras are really tiny with the CCD cameras people are making these days, which makes the focal depths better, and they're just very nice systems. And then, of course, as Nancy mentioned, she saw like 106 different models on the AFB website, and they range anywhere from handheld devices these days to desktop things to anything in between.
And with all sorts of fabulous capabilities. So first we visited the HIMSS booth.
Can you start by introducing yourself and a little bit about your company?
Sure can. My name is Scott Hegley, and I work for HIMSS, Inc. HIMSS is a company based in Austin, Texas. We have had a U.S. presence now, at least with the office in Austin, for almost 2 years.
So is HIMSS an acronym, or does that mean something?
Yeah, it stands for Human Information Management Systems, which was an original Korean name. By that I mean it was a name that the office in Korea came up with.
They were showing a large number of products at the exhibition, but today we're just going to be focusing on their line of CCTVs.
And we have some portable low vision products too. And we're introducing a brand new one. It'll be out in a couple of weeks, called a Candy and Candy Grip. It's a 5-inch HD model CCTV. So you hold it in your hand. One of the models has a grip on it that allows you to use, or a handle, depending on what you want to call it. It has continuous magnification. Most of your portable magnification units jump, let's say, to 3x, 6x, 9x, 12. Ours is a gradual, kind of like a volume dial on a radio, is the way I think of it, as you're going up or down through the magnification levels. It has a freeze button, and it also has autofocus, but there is a focus button, if need be, to manually focus. So that's our newest entry into our low vision products. We also have a new CCTV called a Lifestyle. It is HD. So it is also high def, and people have told us that it's an incredible image on that particular unit. And then we also have three smaller portables. One of them is only 3.5 inches, and that is called the SenseView Lite. And we even have a unit, it's a 4.3-inch screen with two cameras for distance and local viewing.
That's pretty cool, these portable devices they make these days, because, you know, it used to be in the old days, as I said, they were so bulky. This stayed on your desktop, and if your reading material wasn't there or you wanted to read something someplace else, you were out of luck. But these days, you can carry around one of these CCTVs in your pocket.
Well, and it also takes the place of the little telescope that you used to use when you were in grade school and high school so that you could stand a chance of seeing what was on the board. And now you just turn your portable CCTV system around, have it point at whatever's on the board or if somebody's projecting slides, and then you can see it on your own display.
If people want to find out more about some of these products, where would they go?
If you're interested in getting in contact with us, there's a couple ways to do that. Our website is HIMS-INC, which is INC.com, or you can call us at 888-520-4467. And if you go to our website, you'll find a lot of documentation. You'll find quick start MP3 files on our products and contact information. And you can even purchase products through our website.
They also have a phone number that's not toll free, but if you're not in the United States, you can't use the 888 number. And that one is 512-837-2000. So we went around the corner and visited the American Printing House for the Blind booth, where they also were showing some of these new CCTVs with lots of capabilities. Can you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Monica Turner. I'm a field service representative for the American Printing House for the Blind. We're here at the International AER Conference. We brought some of our new products. The big seller, the big most exciting one, is our new video magnifier, which is called the Vizio Book. And it's got an HD camera, and it does a mirror feature, so you can turn it towards yourself if you needed to use magnification to do makeup or something like that. Also, of course, works as a regular video magnifier for, you know, looking at your book or your paper or things. And then you can turn the camera to do distance viewings if you needed to look across the room. You could do that as well to look at your blackboard.
That would have been handy.
Yeah, right.
Very portable, folds up, and is only about 7.5 pounds, so you can fit it into a backpack, or it comes with a carrying bag, and it just folds up into a little square.
No, that's just what I was going to ask. Is it portable or?
It is portable, and it is rechargeable. It has a lithium battery, so you can recharge it. It holds the charge for up to about 5 hours before it needs to be charged back up.
And how big is the screen?
I think it's a 13-inch. It does have an in and an out, so you could hook it to a larger monitor if you needed to.
Oh, cool.
You could also input your computer information into it if you wanted to look at your computer on it and do magnification.
And what level of magnification can you get?
1.8 to 30 times.
Oh, wow. It's quite a range.
So, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I assume you have a number of different color combinations and contrast adjustments.
Yes, it does. It does pink, it does yellow, it does off-white color. So if you need glare issues, you can adjust it blue. So it has several different settings on that. And of course, you can reverse it, do the light on black and the black on the light background as well. So.
Can you give us your contact information if people want to find out more about some of these products?
Sure. They can always get on our website at www.aph.org, or they can also email us at info@aph.org, and we can get them information, get them connected to whoever they need to be connected to, whether they have questions about a specific product, they want information about ordering or prices, and they can certainly look at our website. We have all of our catalogs are online, and then we have a shopping website as well that's fully accessible.
If you'd rather reach them by telephone, that's toll-free at 800-223-1839, or not toll-free, but it works from outside the U.S., 502-895-2405.
One of the great things about attending a conference like this is that you get to see a variety of products all in one place, so you won't forget what you saw when you tested out one product. You can compare them more easily. Sometimes it's difficult to see these products in person because the field representatives are so spread out, and you may have to wait a long time, or maybe they can't get to show you their products. So if you get a chance to attend a conference like this or some kind of get-together where they show multiple products at a time, that can really be kind of exciting.
And of course, another way to get comparisons of various products is either to visit the AFB product database we mentioned earlier, or to go to a vendor who sells multiple brands. And some of our favorite vendors like that are MaxiAids and independent living aids, and the LS and S group, and they all have catalogs. They have very good web presences, and as usual, we will have all of their contact information in the show notes on our website at www.viewpointsplus.net.
You mentioned AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind, and one of the resources that they have is they have an electronic magazine called Access World that they publish once a month. And in many of these issues, they'll have reviews of various assistive products for the blind. So you may want to do a web search either on their website or through Google to find what kind of reviews might be available on a device that you're thinking of purchasing.
Now for this week's high-tech item, the Talking LabQuest and Talking Logger Pro from Independence Science. We talked about these products a little bit in show number 1219 that was discussing teaching science to visually impaired youth.
Can you introduce yourself and your company?
Hi, I'm Roger Tower with Independence Science. We make scientific equipment that's accessible to the blind for a biology, physics, chemistry, earth science course.
So I see you have some of your units here. Can you demonstrate how one of them works?
Sure. What we have in front of you right now is the Talking LabQuest. It's a handheld data collection device. It's the first part of our solution. The second part is data analysis, which is on the computer using the Logger Pro software. We can get into that a little bit later. It has a touchscreen as well as navigation buttons because it is a mainstream device that we have adapted for use with the blind. On the top of the device, you can plug in up to four different kinds of sensors depending on what kind of experiment you like to do.
So that's four at a time, but you said you actually have more than that to choose from.
Yeah, we have up to 70 different kinds, including different accessories. For example, a drop counter, which allows you to make certain drops at a variable time period. And then the LabQuest can then take in the data every time a drop is made.
So this device is portable.
Yeah, it's slightly bigger than an iPhone, and it has grips on the side. If you drop it, it should survive the fall, but I wouldn't recommend testing it.
Okay. And it's just got a few buttons for navigation.
Yeah, it's got four directional buttons and an OK button in the middle, and then it has four functional buttons around the outside of those. And then up on top, there's one data collection button to turn data collection on and off.
And all kinds of ports for USB and charging and SD cards. They're all set.
Yeah, it comes with an SD card with information on how to use the device. You can transfer it all onto your computer through a micro USB. It also comes with a stylus for use with the touchscreen, which could be useful for a teacher.
And now this speaks itself or it speaks through the computer?
This portable device will speak itself, and the computer is operated by WindowEyes to make the Logger Pro software talk.
So does it have a built-in speaker or you need to use headphones or an external speaker?
It has a built-in speaker on the back, but in a laboratory setting, I would suggest using earbuds.
Okay, now you said it's connected to the computer.
The LabQuest is the handheld device. The Logger Pro is the software. And it's like an advanced Excel. So you have your data table on the left that all your data is put into from what you just collected from your device, or you could plug it in yourself. The LabQuest can also act as an interface into the computer, so you don't have to do it portably. You can just collect it directly into the computer using the LabQuest. So once you have your data onto Logger Pro, you're able to then put it onto the graph, do statistical analysis on it, and then hear it through sonification. Eventually, within the next year, we expect to be able to print out with a tactile graph as well.
Who's going to make the tactile printer?
We are in conversations with the Tiger Braille Embosser at this point. It's just the compatibility that we have to figure out.
Oh, cool. So can we see it work?
Sure. Right now, we have it testing the relative humidity and the temperature of the AER exhibit room. So let's plug this up next to the speaker, and we'll listen.
CH3, relative humidity 51.64%. CH2, temperature 21.6 degrees C.
So does the one in English units have an American accent?
No, it all has about an Australian accent, actually. And there is no female voice at the time, but we'll be working on that.
And what are you doing here to make it speak? What are the controls that you have to hit?
As soon as you plug a sensor into it, it'll tell you what channel it's plugged into, and then it'll start saying the data out to you. There is a simple one-push button to start data collection.
And then it collects it automatically into the spreadsheet.
Yes, it collects it over the time period in which you set it for, which could be 20 seconds, it could be hours, and then you also set it to collect at a certain rate. We have 70 different kinds of sensors, anywhere from a salinity sensor, conductivity, also a lot of differential voltage sensors. We have balances, We have a motion detector. We have an accelerometer that you would be able to take on a roller coaster with you.
Oh, geez, I don't think so. It's bad enough if you don't know what's happening.
Well, this is really great because it makes it possible for students and researchers to do their work with along with their sighted colleagues.
Absolutely. That's what's great about this device is it can be used by both parties. It's not something that a sighted person will not be able to understand, such as like a braille note or something of that nature.
Can you give us contact information for people who might be interested in finding out more?
Absolutely. My name is Roger Tower. Feel free to send me an email at info@independencescience.com. You can visit our website at independencescience.com or the short version isci.biz. You can also reach out to me on Facebook. I post a lot of great content on there.
What's your Facebook page?
Facebook.com/independencescience. Also, I publish a blog and newsletter that has TVI tips for a teacher in the science classroom. For example, how to explain to your student that they actually have to use goggles, although they don't have vision.
You know, we volunteer. We help fourth graders with science experiments throughout the year in our public schools. And, you know, you got to convince the sighted kids to put on glasses, too, sometimes, you know.
Yeah, and Pete's walking around with a white cane.
Right.
It's like, you don't want one of these, trust me.
Right.
We also just finished recording some videos with the Washington State School for the Blind on proper lab safety techniques. Also, notched syringes are a great adaptation. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the tech that you're using in the lab that makes it possible. It's the little things here or there and having a teacher who's willing to spend the time to work with a student.
Right.
For example, providing the lab procedure prior to getting into the classroom to make sure they understand where everything is in the classroom. Proper room familiarization is just as important as the tools that you're using. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we actually interviewed Marilyn Winograd and Lillian Rankel. They work with your company a lot and did a whole show on,
developed that notched syringe, right?
They sell a tactile adaptation kit and a multi-sensory lab gear kit. I would point you to their website at scienceforTheBlind.com. Or if you contact info@independencescience.com, we can sell you one of the kits as well.
Oh, cool. Great. Yeah, they talked a lot about you guys.
They did.
The partnership.
They gave you guys a lot of credit.
They're great ladies. I actually filmed a video with them as well, wrapping up the iLab project, which is Independent Laboratory Access for the Blind. You can find more information about that at ilab.psu.edu. That's where everything started. That's where Carrie Cipollo, and that's where really this whole project kicked off about 4 years ago. It's all been funded by the National Science Foundation to make science possible and to create their strategic initiative to bring more STEM studies to the U.S.
So if you're visually impaired, don't be afraid of science. And speaking as scientists ourselves, we can tell you it can certainly make a fun profession.
We've given lots of links and phone numbers, and you probably couldn't catch all of those, but they'll all be in the show notes, which you can find at our website at www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1236.
Next week, we'll be talking with Chris Bell. He's a blind musician, audio engineer, and producer, and we'll talk to him about how he does his job, tutors students to do similar things, and what that all entails.
If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.